Good morning, New Hope Church. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name's Pastor Jeremy. Man, can we just give it up real quick? Give God some glory for everything that took place last week. And I mean, come on, we had 11 baptisms. We had 12 people give their life to Jesus that don't usually raise their hands. I'm saying that because I'm not here to make fun of anybody. But every time you raise your hand, you're recommitting your life to Jesus every single week. Praise God for that. But there's times where I say, hey, if you've never given your life to Jesus, raise your hand. That means you don't have to do it again next week. God heard you the first time. And I said, it makes it easier for me to see who's doing what. But, I mean, God is just doing some amazing things. And if you haven't noticed yet, we've been talking about the theology of worship. And the first week of this four-week sermon series is we talked about worship. How we get into the presence of God, how when we sing songs and we come here on a Sunday morning, we're not just coming here to be filled ourselves. We're actually here because God deserves all of the glory. And I said, it's not about you, it's about Him. And when we truly worship, that's what that looks like. We stop making it about us in the consumer-driven world, and it's all about me, and I want this and this, and God do this for me and do that. No, that's not worship. That's like God is a vending machine. And so He wants to give you and bless you and do these things. You know, so I don't want to diminish that either. But, you know, and then last week, so then at the end of that, we played a song. We got into the presence of God. We just really, I mean, hands were raised. And we just felt His presence. And so we closed out the service that way. Last week, we did baptisms. We talked about worship through preaching and preaching the word and how people get saved and how 3,000 people were saved at Pentecost and all this cool stuff. And that was a form of worship when we preach. Not just the word, but with our lives become a sermon. Like the baptisms, their life was a sermon into us to show us what God was doing, right? This week, it's on prayer. So I need everybody to come up here and give me your best prayer, one at a time. Everybody's jaw just went, huh? No. But I do believe that when the church becomes a church who bases everything that they do in prayer, things change. You got to understand, our prayer life is something that isn't just something that we get to do. It's based in our Christian walk. We have access to God through our prayer. And when we do that, that is worship. Now, I need you to imagine with me. So we've been kind of walking through these past couple weeks in Acts 2. And so today, I'm going to talk about some things today that might raise some questions. And that's good. Because I need you to know that we are an AG church. We are a Pentecostal church. Our faith and our belief system and our doctrine is founded in Acts 2. And so I'm going to, like I used the word earlier in our meeting, I was like, I'm going to sprinkle some Pentecostalism up in here today. I've been waiting for it. But don't let it fear you. Don't let it be scared, because you know why? Because it didn't scare them back then, and it shouldn't scare us today. I love the last lyrics of that song. It says, come, Holy Spirit, fill us again. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But first, before I get there, oh man, it's already 11 o'clock. Can we give Nick a hand clap? You know me, I like to give honor where honor's due. Thanks, Nick. I need you to imagine something with me. You wake up in the morning, you're scrolling on the phone like you do every morning, right? Every morning. Get on the phone, start scrolling, and suddenly you get this notification. Just imagine with me. You get this notification. And the most powerful or most famous person in the world sent a text to you or an email to you, says, hey, I want to meet you today or tomorrow. Could be the president, could be the pope, could be whoever it might be to you. Wants to meet you. I don't know about you, but I'd be like, man, are you sure? You want to meet with me? Man, I need to take a shower. No, matter of fact, I think I need to take two showers. I need to go through my closet. Do I wear a suit? Do I wear a tie? How do I dress? How do I prepare myself to meet this famous person of the world? And they say in the message, I've been thinking about you. And I'd like to talk to you. What I'm about to show you makes that conversation look like a whisper in a hurricane. A whisper in a hurricane. You see, every time that we pray, and I mean every single time we pray, we're not just meeting someone of importance. You're being invited into the most inclusive conversation in the universe. Inclusive means you're all invited to this conversation. This conversation has been happening since before the stars were even born. The conversation between a perfect love, a perfect power, a perfect unity. And you guess what? You don't even have to take a shower. You can only have to brush your teeth or brush your hair to enter into this conversation. That's my kind of conversation, right? I could enter into this conversation just the way I am. You got to understand, the Father has been saying to the Son for all eternity that I love you. And the Son has been saying, I glorify you, Father, forever. And the Spirit has been moving between this perfect harmony since the beginning of time. Before time was even called time, there was this perfect unity happening. And when you pray, and when you actually pray, you're not interrupting this conversation, this what we call the Trinity. You're not interrupting this conversation between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not like you're being squeezed into their schedule when you pray. They're not going, oh, well, there he is. There's Jeremy Pat bothering me again. He's asking for something again. No. It's so not that. You're being invited into the family meeting. Have you ever had the family meetings? I've had a lot of them. Love my kids. They're great. They're good. Just not to each other. You understand, right? You know, siblings, you know how that works. A lot of family meetings. You're invited into this holy communion between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Think about this. And I need you to really, really think about this. The God who holds everything in the palm of his hand, who knows exactly how many hairs are on your head, who knows every single time a tear draws from your eye. That God is looking at you. When you pray, he says, I want to hear what you have to say. He's not bothered by it. He's actually probably more bothered when you don't go to him. It isn't like we're trying it's not like we're trying to impress a boss. You know, we think of God as big, you know, deities in heaven. And he's like, no, Jeremy, you need to, you know. No. He's like, come to me. Come to me with your hurts. Come to me with your hurts and your hang-ups and your habits. Bring it to me. Come sit at the table where we make decisions about everything that matters. He's inviting you to that table. But here's where I'm going to mess you up now. We all like that, right? If I wish I had a needle in the balloon, I'd be like, pop real loud. I should have done that. Pop your bubble. We live in a world where people wait in line for hours to take selfies with a famous person. We'll pay hundreds of dollars to sit in the nosebleed section at Las Vegas Speedway, because I'm looking at tickets right now for a race, but hundreds of dollars to watch something that I'm passionate about. And we'll even follow people on Facebook, on YouTube, and all these social media outlets, and guess what? They will never meet you. Nor do they care about you, but we'll put so much energy into these people and watch them. Our eyes are down here when they should be up here. But God, the God of the universe, the God of the cosmos, there's no beginning and no end. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega, He's the God of our universe, the one who spoke everything into existence with just His voice, offers us unlimited access anytime, anywhere, about anything. And half the time, we're too busy even to show up because we're distracted by all these other things. It's kind of sad, really. Let me show you something that's going to change how you see the church, this church, New Hope Church, and how you see yourself. You see what's impossible when God... I want you to see what is possible when God's people actually understand that they have access to something greater than themselves. Acts 2, if you got your Bibles, because we are a Bible-believing church. Next week, I'm going to say it, and 5 more people are going to bring their Bibles. We're a Bible-believing church. Bring your Bible. Open that thing up. Let's learn this. Acts 2, 42 through 47. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again, but we're going to hang out probably in the first verse. But this is our whole compacting verse for the 4 weeks. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Didn't that sound like an awesome church? That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. That's the kind of church we are thriving to be. A couple while back in our business meeting that we do yearly, I said, we are going to work our way to be an Acts 2 church. This is it right here. I need you to see it, though. Do you see what made them different in this text? What made them dangerous? What made this church unstoppable? Because we wouldn't be here today if that church didn't do it right back then. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. They didn't occasionally remember. They didn't fit in. When it was convenient, they devoted everything to prayer, to being this church. They gave up and sold their possessions and everything to be this kind of church. And look what happened, the results. Signs, wonders, radical generosity, favor with people, daily salvations. People were entering into the kingdom of God because of what this church was doing by devoting themselves to what? Teaching, we did that last week. Fellowship, talk about that today. Breaking of bread, we do that every week after service. And prayer. They devoted themselves. It wasn't occasionally something that they just did. They lived this. And look what happened. Everything changed. We're here today because of their dedication, because of their devotion. They didn't just fit prayer into their busy schedules. These were people who built their lives around prayer because they understood something that we might have forgotten today. They were talking about the God who created everything, sustaining everything, and has the power over everything. They prayed like their lives depended on it, because guess what? It did. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. When I look at our churches today, and when I look honestly at my own life, I got to ask myself, where is that kind of desperation? I spend hours and hours preparing messages and doing all these things, but even that sometimes can become something that I just do. So I got to ask myself, where is my prayer life where I'm just like, God, I don't even want anything from you. I just want to talk to you. I want to tell you how my day's been going. Where is that kind of desperation? Where is that devotion that marked the early church here today? So let me ask you, are you ready to rediscover what the early church knew about prayer? Because if we get this right, if we really get this right, things will change in your personal life, in your family, in your home, in the community, in our church, and it will spread. If we get this right, everything changes. Prayer is a lifeline to the living God. My first point, short point. Say amen. I'm just kidding. I'm sure you're still awake. Acts 2:24, the very first verse, says they devoted themselves to the apostles' preaching, teaching, fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Prayer is not a religious activity. Did you know if you look out into the world, people are trying to find this, like meditation, they're trying to do this, they're ultimately know the importance of prayer, but they're not praying to a God. They're praying to whatever else fits that hole, that spot. Does that make sense? Even the secular world believes in prayer. They're just not praying to God. Prayer isn't just something that we do to impress God or to get God to do what we want. Prayer in our life is a lifeline to the creator of our universe. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. Get this, Jesus says in Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who is seen, what is done in secret, will reward you. Well, Jeremy, why do you bring that verse up? Because everybody thinks they have to like pray out in public and got to pray around. Yeah, that's called spiritual rhythms. I mean, these are things that disciple us. This is part of discipleship. But what's more important than praying with and above everybody else is your relationship with God. When that's right, then you have no fear of praying with anybody else, because it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that your prayers will come, and we'll get to that. We've turned prayer into some kind of performance act. I got to say the right words. I got to pray really, really long prayers. Or I don't say the right word. Whatever it may be, we've made it about eloquent words. It's got to be about a perfect theology. No, no, no. Remember, I already told you, God's just okay with you coming into his presence, not with the right words, because your relationship is there. You can't impress God. Come on. Come on. I try all the time, you know. He laughs at me. Yeah, our God, he's funny. He's got a sense of humor. He looks at us all the time laughing at us. The early church didn't pray pretty prayers. They prayed desperate prayers. They prayed prayers that their lives depended on it because they knew their lives did. When was the last time you prayed like that? You don't have to raise your hand. When's the last time you got into your prayer closet on your knees and you wept saying, God, I just need you now? Or when's the last time we prayed the Lord's Prayer? Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And just stop right there. Point two, God speaks through his word and prayer. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I wanted to bring it back around. Because David is our example. King David is our example of how we should be praying. If you haven't read the Psalms, you need to read the Psalms because, yeah, it makes my prayers look horrible. Because he is that good. Why is he that good? Because he wasn't trying to impress anybody. He was pouring out his heart to God. Now, how does God speak to us through prayer? First, he speaks through his word. Let's look at Psalms 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Let me tell you about a man who understood this better than anyone. I already said his name, David. David was a king. And in 1 Samuel 13, I got a lot of scriptures for you guys, so just bear with me. Take notes if you can. 1 Samuel 13, 14 says, he was a man after God's own heart. If you don't know who David is, you're going to find out here in a second in the speed mode of who David is. I said, but he was a man after God's own heart, and here's why. David knew how to turn to God's word into prayer. So David's life, we got to look at his life for a minute for those of you who don't know who he is. He was a shepherd boy who killed a giant with a sling. He was hunted by a jealous king. Then he became the king. Then he committed adultery. Then he ordered murders. Then he lost a child. He faced rebellion from his own son and experienced both incredible victory in war and devastating defeats. And this is a man after God's own heart. Through all of this story of David's life, David poured out his heart to God in the Psalms. This is why, because God wanted a relationship with him. He didn't have to, and I say it all the time, he didn't have to clean himself up before he came into the presence of God. He sat there and he entered into God's presence. God, I am a broken man. I don't know what to do with this situation, but I'm coming to you with all of my brokenness, with all my sin, and I'm asking you to fix me in the process. Don't just fix my situation through my prayer, but fix me in this situation. David poured out his heart to God. The book of Psalms is roughly 75 of David's prayer journal entries. I got some prayer warriors here in this church who carry around prayer journals. Because if we don't copy down the prayers and then pray for them and then pray for them and then God answers those prayers, how can we give God glory if we don't remember what we were praying for to begin with? And it's been, so you got to understand that the Psalms have been teaching God's people how to pray for 3,000 years. Here's what's amazing. David didn't just pray about his circumstance, he prayed for God's promise. He was praying God's promises back to him. David is talking and taking what he knew about God's character and declaring it right back to God through prayer. In Psalms 27, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" This is a prayer grounded in who God is, not what David wanted. David wasn't asking for anything. He said, "God, you're my light. You're my salvation. I fear nobody because you're on my side. I'll let you take care of it." The early church learned from David in prayer. We should be learning from David through the Psalms on how to pray. You want to pray better? You want to learn how to pray? Start reading the Psalms. And be real. Acts 4, 24 through 26. "When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. 'Sovereign Lord,' they said, 'you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do nations rage and the people plot in vain?'" See, you think that's just some kind of prayer, but they've actually taken Psalms 2 from David's prayer journal and rephrased it to something that was personal to them. So they took Psalms 2 and they re-prayed it and made it personal to them. They quoted it, Psalms 2. When we do this, when we can read through the Psalms and make it personal for ourselves, because I remember when I was locked in jail, I didn't know how to pray. I was reading those Psalms every day. "God, these people are out to get me. Help me." Those are the ones that stuck out to me. "They plot in vain to send me to prison." You know, all these things. These are the feelings that I was reading those Psalms, and that's how I learned to pray. Here's what's amazing. When we start praying God's heart instead of our own desires, things change. Last week I brought up 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. When you read the Psalms, you are being taught by the very breath of God, and he's training you in righteousness. When we pray scripture back to God, we literally are breathing God's own words back to him and affirming, "I believe what you say." We're aligning our prayer with his will, and that's when prayer becomes powerful. When we align our prayer with his will, I can promise you this: your prayer will be answered yes and amen. When you pray for his will. Here's what I want you to try this week. You got homework. And then I'll test you. I'll appear on the stage. Read the Psalms before you pray. Remember at the beginning I said the creator of the universe wants to meet with you. And you don't have to brush your teeth or brush your hair or get in the shower. He wants to meet with you. Get up, open your Bible, read one chapter in Psalms, and then just quiet your heart and use those words to have a relationship with the Father. Let David's Psalms teach you how to worship in prayer. Let his honesty, because you, man, there are some serious honesty in these Psalms. Let David's honesty encourage you. Let his faith strengthen you. Then pray that psalm back to God and make it personal. My third point, God speaks through his Holy Spirit in prayer. The Pentecostal promise. I've been waiting for this. There's so much to unpack here, and as we move forward and all this stuff, I promise you I'll answer questions. I promise you that we will get deeper into this stuff in the future. Just hear what the Word of God says. That's all I ask for you now. Have open hearts. Hear what God says. The second, this point here is crucial for us to understand as believers. God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 26 through 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, meaning when we don't have words to say. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And when we search, and when He searches our hearts and knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. Here's some theology that will change your prayer life. The Trinity works together in prayer. The Father receives our prayers. The Son is interceding at the right hand of the Father. According to Romans 8, 34, it says, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father who is also interceding for us. And guess what? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us from within us. When you're praying, you're surrounded by the Trinity. There's three different things working here. Not just you talking. You are in communion with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something about the Holy Spirit specifically. Because this is where churches have gotten confused or even scared. The Holy Spirit is not a force or an influence. He is the third person of the Trinity. He has a mind, emotions, and a will. He speaks, He teaches, He guides, and He intercedes for us. Jesus promised this. If you think it's weird, guess what? Jesus promised this. In John 14, 26, it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said to you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher in prayer. Now in Acts 2, something incredible happens. The same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters during creation, the same Spirit who empowered the judges in the Old Testament, the same Spirit that anointed David, was the same Spirit that was poured out on all believers. Because before Jesus, it was like just poured out here. You know, Holy Spirit was working here in the David's life and then the prophet's life. And it was kind of pulled in and pulled out and pulled in. But now it says, no. It says, it is available for all believers. Peter explains it in Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on some people, all people. This is where we get the word Holy Spirit baptism. I'm going to break that down for you so you don't get it confused with salvation. The Holy Spirit baptism is the promise that Jesus promised in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power. Greek word is dunamis. It's like dynamite, like explosive power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. It isn't just about speaking in tongues, people. That's where people get, oh, I got to speak in tongues. This isn't just about speaking in tongues. This is about a power when the Holy Spirit falls on you. This is about being empowered for prayer, empowered for witnessing, and empowered for spiritual warfare. We want to put this little awesome, amazing gift of speaking in tongues in its own little thing and say, I don't want Holy Spirit baptism because I got to do this. No, the Holy Spirit power is powerful in all of these things. He's the one who empowers us and equips us to do it. You got to understand, here's what I believe biblically from my research and my training and everything. Every believer has the Holy Spirit living in them at the moment of salvation. Boom, you got him. He's going to teach you. He's going to help you. He's going to do things for you that you can't do for yourself. Wisdom, these things. But Jesus also commands us to be filled in the Holy Spirit. John 7, 37 and 39 says, let anyone who thirst come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he means the Holy Spirit. This is an ongoing experience. This isn't a once and done thing. The once and done thing is the moment of salvation. But Jesus says, no, there's living waters that's going to flow out of you. I'm going to pour into your cup and it's going to flow out of you. It doesn't stop. It only stops when you want it to stop because of whatever reason. I can name a bunch. Pride, uncomfortable, fear. God, and he said, I want to pour it out all the time. I want you to have all of this. I know about this. If there's any gift of God, I want it. I want all of it. Not just bits and pieces. I want all of it. When we pray in the Spirit, Jesus' brother Jude, if you didn't know Jude, little book in the back towards the Bible, I think right before Revelations, this is Jesus' other half-brother. He's got a lot of cool things to say too. Jude 1:20 says, but you, dear friends, by building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Whether it's in a known language or not, or tongues or not, Paul describes this in 1 Corinthians 14:12. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but speaks to God. No one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Here's where I gotta like really let you understand something. There's a gift. The Bible's very clear about it. There's a gift of speaking in an unknown language in a corporate setting. I don't have that gift. But if God wants to give it to me, I'm willing to take it because I want it. But he hasn't given me that gift. The kind of Holy Spirit baptism that I'm talking about, and he, like Jude says, praying in the Holy Spirit, that's for all people. That's for every believer to have. So don't get it like my prayer language. I'm up here praying last song. I am in the Spirit praying in a language that I don't know. You know why? Because it says right there, I'm speaking to God in that moment. I'm not speaking to you. I'm not speaking to anybody else. The Holy Spirit is giving me words that I don't understand to speak to him and tell him how great he is. The Spirit in me is glorifying the Father. Regardless of how it comes out, it's a perfect prayer in God's ears. We're bypassing our limited understanding and praying directly from God's heart when we do this. The early church was not afraid of this. They were not afraid of this. I put in quotes, speaking in tongues. This is our doctrine. Look at Acts 4:31. And they prayed. And the place where they were meeting was shaken. Look at that. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. They expected the Spirit to manifest when they prayed. They had expectation that the Holy Spirit was going to show up and perform miracles and do things that seem really weird to us today in this culture. But it was not weird then. It was alive and it was active and lives were being changed. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit's gift in your prayer life. Don't be afraid of this. I was afraid of this at one time because I didn't understand it. And I received it and I'm like, oh man, I need some more of that. Rivers of running water, life water run through me. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit's power. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:39, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. That's God's word. That's not me. Ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to give you gifts. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide your prayers in ways that you never thought possible. Be scared of it. It's amazing. Here's another way that God speaks. He speaks through community. God speaks to us through community in prayer. Look back at our text in Acts 2, 46 and 47. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. They weren't just isolated believers. They were a community, a part of a community, a life that was praying together. We just do it on a Sunday. Daily they did this. God speak to us not just in our private prayers, but God speak to me through the prayers of other believers. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you are a part of it. I said in our worship time, when you don't sing and worship God, you're hurting the person next to you. And I made the comment that God has really bad taste in worship. Remember that? Some of you might not have been here. Because what sounds bad to you sounds beautiful to Him. What sounds bad to me sounds really great to Him. I am bad. You do not want me on the worship team. I don't have that gift either. We're a part of this body. We need each other. I need you all here to encourage me to get up here every week to exercise my gift. Because without you, I'm preaching to an empty room. So you being here encourages me. It lets me know that you're safe. It lets me know God is doing stuff in your life. I need that. And I hope when I preach and share that you're getting the word of God in your heart, but you're learning from me also. Because I'm still a student. Matthew 18:20 promises, says, for where two or three gather in my name, here I am with them. There's something powerful about what happens to a believer when a group of believers pray. I can tell you, we ended our Rooted discipleship group Thursday, and we did some prayer over each individual person, a commissioning of, because we went through this group and I got to see everybody from the day they started to how we ended and some of the fears and some of the things that they didn't see in themselves, and I spoke life over them. You don't see your gifts and your talents, but I'm going to speak God's word over you and I'm going to speak life in areas of your life that you don't even think you have. I'm not going to share. I wanted to share one, but I'm not going to do it. And this was a whole prayer. I mean, it took probably 30 minutes to get through all this. We had a prayer experience in this room. For 2 hours, we sat in this room and prayed. over these chairs, over every one of you, every person in this church, over our community. We have been praying for you when you didn't even know we were praying for you. There's something powerful that happens when believers pray together. God shows up in ways that he doesn't show up when we're alone. But here's our problem. I said our problem. We have become so individualistic in our faith. We think that we can figure everything out on our own. We can even use prayer as an excuse. I'm just praying to God. He'll take care of it. I'm praying. We can use that as an excuse for not doing anything else. God isn't going to do for you what you can do for yourself. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in to help empower you to do those things. But here's the problem. We think we can figure everything out on our own. We think that we can hear God's voice without the help of other people. God sent prophets in the Old Testament to teach and tell people the things of God. That stopped the moment Jesus entered and came in and spoke. He is the mouth of God. And spoke everything that needed to be said. God uses other people in circumstances. We think we hear God's voice without the help of others. Or believers. I love that when people say, God told me I was supposed to buy that truck. God told me I was supposed to buy that house I can't afford. Right? This is where other people come in. When you bring somebody else into this conversation, they can hold you accountable. And say, did God really say that? We need that. I need that. Here's what it is. It's not biblical, and it's not healthy. This is why small groups and churches matter so much. This is why being a part of a praying community matters. Because when we pray together, we hear God speak through the prayers of other people. We gain perspective that we never would have on our own. I have a couple men in my life. One is a financial person in my life that is very good with money and kept us out of a big debt that we almost got into, buying a brand new car versus a used car. I have mentors in my life for recovery. How do I deal with life around me in the recovery sense? I've got pastors who help me keep me grounded in my spiritual walk. These things matter. We are not to walk this alone. This is why community matters. So are you in a group that prays together regularly? Are you even in a group that meets and prays for each other? You don't know this yet, but we do have a prayer group here on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. And they are praying over you. They're praying over the needs of people in our church. They're praying over our community, our fire department, our government, our leaders. They are praying over everything, bathing it in prayers, Tuesdays at 10 o'clock. If you need to grow in your prayer life, get plugged into that. It's amazing. It's amazing. We have a new group launched starting on Monday. Sorry for the short notice, but that's how we roll. When God says do, we do. I want to encourage you, be in that group. This is where you find community that you can't find here on a Sunday. This is doing life together. In August, we'll be launching, September, we'll be launching some more rooted groups. where there'll be different times of the day. You'll get in your group and you will be praying for each other. You'll be serving together. You'll be doing life together. And finally, God speaks through circumstances in our prayer. Finally, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Memorize that. You need to have that one in here. When life gets a little shaky, when life is a little nerve-wracking, when depression sets in, when anxiety sets in, bring your request to God in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Praying in the Spirit is like noise-canceling headphones, and I love my noise-canceling headphones. Man, I can get on the plane to go to California. I got to go there for pastor meeting. I put those headphones on. I don't hear the screaming babies in the thing. I don't hear the people talking. Noise-canceling headphones. It quiets things, what seems like the middle of a war zone. The chaos around you doesn't disappear, but it does lose its volume. You can still see the problem and you know it's there. You can still feel the pressure of the problem. But when you pray in the Spirit, it's like heaven turns down the noise of your anxiety and turns up the truth of God's Word. You stop hearing fear and you start hearing faith. It says, don't be anxious about anything. Not your money. Not your marriage, not your mental state, but in every situation, in the courtroom, in the hospital, in the waiting room, in a jail cell, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. You have to understand, God might not change the situation right away, but He'll change you. That's peace. That's supernatural peace that says, why am I freaking out right now? Been there, right? It's the kind of peace that says, man, why am I freaking out right now? God's got this. That's the kind of faith that guards you. That's the kind of prayers that'll guard you. Sometimes we want God to answer us with a change of our circumstance, but often He speaks through circumstances to change us. Because real peace isn't the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God in the middle of your trouble. When we bring our circumstance to God in prayer, He speaks to us through those very circumstances. He uses our trials to teach us dependence. He uses our victories to teach us gratitude. He uses our confusion to teach us trust. We talked about this, James 1:5. It says, "And if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." When you don't know what to do, when your knees are shaking, put them on the floor. We have to be paying attention. We have to be looking for God's voice in the middle of our situations. Too often we pray about our circumstances. Then we go back to worrying about them. Pray about them and then worry about them. That's not trusting God. That's a lot of energy wasted too. You know that, right? Worry is a heavy burden to carry. It's not your job to worry about it. The early church saw God's hand moving in everything. When they were persecuted, they prayed and God gave them boldness. When they needed direction, they prayed and God opened doors. When they faced opposition, they prayed and God gave them wisdom. God is still speaking through circumstances today. The question is, are you listening? Church, I need you to know something. The early church didn't just pray. They didn't just fit prayer into their schedule. They didn't just say blessings before meals and call it good. They devoted themselves to prayer. You gotta understand, this word devoted really means they were obsessed with it. They were addicted to it. They were desperately dependent on it, like oxygen in their lungs. Why? Because they understood something that we have forgotten in our comfortable, convenient Christianity. Prayer is a covenant relationship with God who runs the universe. Listen to me, and I need you to really listen here. What would happen if we stopped treating prayer like it was an option and started treating it like it was essential? What would happen if we really believed, and I mean really, really believed, the same God who spoke galaxies into existence is leaning forward when you approach him to speak to him? He's leaning in, like getting closer to you as you get closer to him. He's leaning towards you in the throne room, waiting to speak breakthrough over you and your situation. I'll tell you what happens when this happens. We'd see that same explosive power that turned the world upside down in Acts 2. We would see addictions broken and snapped and like twigs. We would see depression running for the hills. We would see marriages not just rekindled but on fire. We'd seen impossible situations become God's greatest testimonies. And this is what the world desperately is waiting for. Not another program, not another building, not another event. The world is waiting for people so connected to God through prayer, the supernatural becomes the natural. They're waiting for believers who pray with such authority that heaven invades the earth right where they are and where they go. Waiting for a church that doesn't just talk about God's power but demonstrates it. And if you're here today and you never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, this is impossible for you. You can't have these things without Jesus in your life. It starts with one prayer. Every head bowed and every eye shut, please. If you need this power, you need this hope, you need this life-changing experience, if you want to speak to a Father who has sent His Son to die for you on the cross, it starts with a prayer. And if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, don't be shy here. There's no shyness around here. This is a decision that can change your life forever. And remember, you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to pray the right prayers to come to God. You don't have to get your act together first. You come as you are. Jesus is saying to you right now, come to me and I will give you rest. That relationship with God that we're talking about, it starts with that one prayer. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. If that's you today, just throw your hand up real quick. Nobody's looking. Every head's bowed. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Can you put them down? God wants to speak His life into you, but when you come to Him with prayer, so repeat this prayer with me. You say, Father, I've done things myself, and I've messed up. I've went down the wrong path. I went down the wide path. Help me go down the narrow path. Just repeat this in your heart. Say, God, I surrender my life to you. I repent and I turn from my ways. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And he raised again 3 days later. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, there's a revolution that starts. There's something that starts, and it has to start in you. This doesn't start in the pastor. It starts in you. You want to see people in your community, your neighbor. You want to see them change. You want to, because there's stuff going on in their family. And they just need Jesus. It starts in you. Your relationship with God. Will you stop making excuses and start making history? Will you stop playing it safe and start praying for eternity? Will you choose to be filled with the Spirit of God? That your prayers become God's pathway for miracles everywhere you go. Because here's what I want you to know. Right now in this moment, there are people in this room who are one prayer away from breakthrough. I don't know what they are, but he knows what they are. One prayer away from breakthrough. One prayer away from healing. One prayer away from deliverance. One prayer away from your miracle that you've been praying for. The world is watching. Heaven is watching. Your breakthrough is one prayer away. Would you guys please stand to your feet with me? It's time to pray like you believe God hears you. Hear me. It's time to pray like God hears you. He doesn't just listen to the pastor. I'm one of you. I just have a title. I'm following Jesus like you're following Jesus. If you need prayer, if you need somebody to intercede for you and pray for you, whether it's healing, whatever it may be, throw your hand up. Don't be scared. I'm tired of scared people asking like their life is all together and perfect and they don't need prayer. That's not what God has for you. For those who have their hands laid up, guess what? The people who don't have their hands up in the air, find somebody, lay your hands on them and pray. Come on, do it. Get you out of your comfort zones. Find somebody with their hand up and pray for them. There we go. Don't be shy. You pray like your life depends on it, because it does. If you want to worship like heaven is listening, because it is, I want you to believe for a breakthrough. I see a lot of people in here without people's hands being laid on somebody. Come on, church. Pray for somebody. Lay your hand on somebody right now. Pray for them. Lay your hands on somebody. Pray for somebody. Go ahead and turn it up. Declare this. God is listening. Pray in the Spirit. You pray. You lay your heart out to God. If we can't pray as a community of believers right here, we're missing it. We are missing it, church. Everything that we do derives from this language, this prayer, this relationship we have with God. We should not be scared to do this. This is a gift from heaven that allows us to intercede for the people that we love and that we care about. He is a way maker. It's not because you pray the perfect prayer. It's because God is faithful and good. Don't just sit there and watch other people pray. Join in. Don't you dare let this moment pass you away. Pass you by. This is your moment to connect with God who moves mountains. If you need healing, pray. If you need a breakthrough, pray. If you need salvation, pray. If you need a miracle in your life right now, pray. Pray like God is going to do something. The creator of everything can create something in you through your prayer. Nothing is off limit to him. You pray like everything is about to do something incredible in your life. You pray because God does miracles. He is a way maker. They say that he is a way maker. His you're inviting him depression. Into your situation without even having to say, it's like, God, you're good.
His name is above.
He has the
loneliness.
Power. Declare the words
to
this song.
His name is above disease. His name is above cancer. His name is above every other name. That is who. Jesus, and that is who you are. Oh, I know that is who you are.
Jesus, thank you. I pray your Holy Spirit invades this room. Invade this room.
Amen, amen, amen.
You're a miracle worker. We come before you. When we get like this, Father, I believe with all my heart you are more pleased and happy that your children would pray for each other and stand in the gap for each other. Because you didn't create, Father, the church by what Acts 2 is describing to us. You have created the church for community, that we would pray together, that we would step in the gap for each other, and we would meet the needs of those who are less fortunate. Father, that we would break bread together, that we would be alive and an active church, not just people who show up on a Sunday. Let us worship you through our prayer. Father, by your wisdom and your strength, give us times in our busy schedules to get into your word, to read those psalms, to let them transform our hearts. Breathe your life into us and allow us to respond through our prayer and through our worship. Father, we thank you for who you are, what you're doing. I thank you for the two who said yes to you today. I thank you that people would actually get up, move around this room, pray for people. I believe that is pleasing in your eye. Let this not just be a one Sunday thing. Let this be an actual thing that happens every single week. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. 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 Okay, prayer. You guys can sit if you want. I'm done. But I want you to know that this should never be awkward or odd. I want to tear down any wall that makes you think that prayer is awkward because you don't have the right words or you're not good at it. Come in here on a Tuesday with the ladies and pray with them and get good and practice, because practice will help. Read your Psalms. It will help. If you want it and you want access, it's yours. You just got to grab it. Thank you guys for coming. If you're new, take that card, fill that card out. Remember, we need to get kids signed up for the youth bowling event. If you have Church Center, you can register right on the Church Center app at the bottom. There's a little button, events, click it, and you can do that there. If you need help, get with Vinette or Crystal or somebody. We'll get you signed up. Thank you for bearing with me. Prayer is an extremely important topic, and I didn't want to rush it. I wanted us to experience it and have it and be filled by it. And so you guys are amazing. Let's go break some bread. I think there's cake in there.